I thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Ian.
And again, I've been speaking with Kimberly Whaley, who's an author, lawyer, media commentator, and professor of law at the University.
Hi, my name is Michael Rosario from Saugerties, and you're listening to WGXC ACRA 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Chris Funkhauser and Amy Huffnagel of Rhinebeck, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
Radio broadcast, this I believe.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here.
William J. Kimball is reporting for the Daily Freeman. Artists Bryce and Helen Marden are looking into purchasing the St. Sevilia Roman Catholic Church building in the village of Tivoli and turning it into a community space and arts center, according to Red Hook Town Supervisor Robert McKeon. McKeon said at a town board meeting this week, the town will withdraw its offer to buy the building if the Mardens can reach a purchase agreement with the Archdiocese of New York. McKeon said, and I quote, "We would withdraw our offer since the Mardens' intentions are to preserve, protect, and make available to the public this historic property for generations to come," end quote. McKeon said the Mardens have a track record of restoring community buildings, including the Hotel Tivoli and its accompanying restaurant, and have helped in the effort to maintain the village's character. The St. Sylvia property consists of three parcels totaling 2.76 acres located on Broadway in Tivoli. The property was put on the market for $500,000 in early 2019. The building dates to the turn of the 20th century and was used for worship services until 2015. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman.
Dan Friedman reports for the Times Union that New York Senator Chuck Schumer failed in his attempt to work around the Republican capping of New York state and local tax deduction, losing a 52-43 vote in the U.S. Senate October 23rd. Republicans passed a new federal tax bill in 2017, putting a $10,000 cap on deductions for state and local taxes, which raised federal taxes for many New Yorkers. Quote, "Taking away the SALT deduction was brutally unfair to New York's hardworking homeowners who bear the brunt of the Trump tax bill," unquote, Schumer said after the vote. Quote, "While I am disappointed that this horrible rule will continue to take its toll on working families across the country, I remain committed to eliminating the harmful tax deduction cap through any means possible," unquote. Schumer cited the specific local impact of the Republican tax bill, saying that in 2016, 51,000 Albany County residents filed SALT deductions that averaged $15,500, which means their taxes were raised considerably. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
David Lombardo is reporting for Capital Confidential. A survey commissioned by New Yorkers United for Justice has found that the newly adopted criminal justice laws are popular with New York voters. The advocacy group released the poll October 24th to encourage state lawmakers to continue addressing parole reform, pretrial protections, and other reforms. New Yorkers United for Justice is also in the process of an aggressive campaign to convince Governor Andrew M. Cuomo to increase the use of his clemency powers. United for Justice senior advisor Topeka K. Sam said, and I quote, "We have taken historic steps to address the injustices in our system this year. We are here for the long haul, and we must continue to pass reforms to make our state safer and more just next session," end quote. The poll was conducted by Harris X in late August, and you can read the full story at Capital Confidential.
Diane Valden reports in the Columbia paper that after November 5th elections, the town of Copaic will have a new supervisor, town clerk, town justice, and at least one new town council person. Jeannie Mettler on the Democratic and Working Families lines and Kelly Miller Simmons on the Republican, Conservative, and Independence Party lines are running for supervisor in the southeastern Columbia County town, with Jeff Nayer stepping down after 8 years in the position. Town clerk tax collector Larry Proper has been in town offices since 1986, but is retiring with only Lynn Connolly on the ballot to take his place. Two newcomers, Julie Cohen and Paulette Bonanno, are on the Democratic and Working Family lines, and incumbent Stanley Stosh-Ganskowski and former board member Terry Sullivan, both on Republican, Independence, and Conservative Party lines, are vying for two open town board seats. And Jeffrey Judd and Hillary Thomas are in the mix for town justice, as current Justice John Spencer is not running again. Judd is on the Democratic and Working Families lines, and Thomas is running on the Republican, Independence, and Conservative Party lines. Read the Columbia paper for full profiles of all the Copaic candidates.
Lauren Khalil is reporting for CNYCCentral.com. Beginning September 1st, 2020, a lower blood alcohol level will be in effect for anyone in New York who hunts while drunk. Governor Andrew Cuomo signed new legislation October 23rd to make the legal limit to hunt the same as the legal limit to drive a car or boat, or 0.08%. Under current law, the blood alcohol content threshold for being charged with hunting while intoxicated is 0.10%. The law states, and I quote, "An individual who is too intoxicated to drive a car or pilot a boat is also unfit to engage in hunting, and the increased risk is not only to the hunter, but to everyone else in the field," end quote. Similar legislation has been passed in Maine, Minnesota, New Hampshire, and West Virginia. Read the full story at CNYCentral.com.
Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that with early voting debuting in New York October 26th, Governor Andrew Cuomo signed three more bills October 24th to make voting easier. The bills purportedly make it easier to read ballots, require ballots make clear when a ballot has two sides, and mandate that boards of election post sample ballots online before an election for voters to preview. Quote, "Voting is a fundamental right, and there should never be a situation where that right is infringed on just because the ballot isn't clear," unquote, Cuomo said. Quote, "These measures will bolster the progress we've made to improve voting access by ensuring ballots clearly lay out the choices and there is no confusion when New Yorkers walk into the voting booth," unquote. In Columbia County, there are three locations to vote ahead of November 5th, the county office building in Hudson, the Martin H. Glenn Municipal Building in Volusia, and Copaic Town Hall in Copaic. In Greene County, early voting takes place October 26th through November 3rd at the Greene County Office Building, 411 Main Street, room 430 in Catskill. In southern Albany County, the Helderberg Ambulance site at 978 Coal Hill Road in East Bern will set up for all voters registered in election districts in Bern, Knox, Rensselaerville, and Westerloo. The Bethlehem Lutheran Church at 85 Elm in Delmar will be for voters registered in Bethlehem, Coymans, and New Scotland. In southern Rensselaer County, the Skodak Town Hall, 265 Sherman Road in Castleton-on-Hudson will be set up for early voting. To gain a political advantage, Republicans in the majority in Rensselaer County did not set up an early voting site in Troy, the county's largest city and home to more Democrats than GOP members.
David Robinson is reporting for LoHUD.com. New Yorkers can now dispose of vaping devices and cartridges as part of prescription drug take-back events statewide. Governor Andrew Cuomo announced the addition for the first time of electronic cigarettes and other similar devices to the event scheduled to be held October 26. Vaping-related illnesses have sickened nearly 150 people in New York, killing one teenager. Cuomo said, and I quote, "As the alarming outbreak of vaping-related illnesses continues to rage across the country, we are taking every step possible to combat this crisis," end quote. He added, and I quote, "I urge New Yorkers to take advantage of this opportunity to dispose of vaping devices as well as unused prescription medication that could endanger you and members of your family," end quote. Local take-back sites are located at the Cairo, Coxsackie, and Windom Police Departments and Greene County Sheriff's Office, the Hudson Police Department, and the Columbia County Sheriff's Main Office and Hillsdale Substation. The take-back event runs from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, October 26. The service is free and anonymous. Read the full story at lohud.com.
The Daily Freeman reports that Department of Environmental Conservation has finished improvements at the North South Lake Campground in Haines Falls. The DEC spent $366,348 for a fishing platform, new picnic tables and grills, a solar-powered cell phone charging station, benches, a ramp to the beach, a boardwalk to the water, a drinking fountain, an outside shower and foot wash station, and a new pavilion. The DEC also added 500 tons of new beach sand, a new 10-slot bike rack, camper-friendly changing rooms, and a new lifeguard office. Quote, "The improvements continue our efforts to expand recreational opportunities for people of all abilities," unquote, DEC Commissioner Basil Sago said in a prepared statement. The North South Lake Campground opened in 1926 in the Catskill Forest Preserve. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
National Weather Service in Albany predicts a rainy Sunday. Rain before 3 p.m. is the forecast. 100% is the probability. Then showers are possible after 8 p.m. with a high near 53 and a low around 47 and scattered showers Sunday night. Then Monday should be partly sunny with a high near 60, low around 46 Monday night. Isolated showers are possible again on Tuesday after 2 p.m. Otherwise, it'll be partly sunny with a high near 61 and a low around 48. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
Listen out for these live broadcasts and extra web streams on the WGXC program schedule during the coming week. On Sunday, October 27th, from 8:30 to 10:30 p.m., WGXC Live will carry a live stream from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, where Reckless Eric will perform songs from his new album, Construction Time and Demolition. There will be a live web stream of this show at wgxc.org/listen, and at 10 p.m., the show will also be broadcast on 90.7 FM. WGXC's Fall Pledge Drive continues through October 31st. Our goal is to secure 50 new sustaining supporters who invest in community radio every month. You can help to keep WGXC on the air by becoming a sustaining supporter at wgxc.org/donate. Be sure to check our program schedule for new listings of public events, community meetings, and other dedicated web streams, which may not have been posted at the time this announcement was recorded. You can also download the free Wavefarm app to listen on your phone or iDevice, or use it to become a community collaborator with WGXC.
Wavefarm programs are made possible, in part, by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature. the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Wendy Schmaltz of Claverick, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
This is Alan Skerritt coming to you from our WGXC FM radio station here in Hudson, New York. I also understand that we are about to embark or have embarked on a fundraising effort here, and Neva is going to bring me some of the information that I'm going to need to share with you about what we're calling it and what our goals are. I understand one of our goals, which has always been one of our goals, is to make our listening audience more aware of the various nonprofit agencies and programs that are serving the people of this city and county. Sometimes you don't hear much about them and what they're doing, unless somehow they wind up in the newspaper, and sometimes that is the most positive account. Our newspapers tend to leave things out to support the right wing. Talk about fake news or no news, sometimes it's just as bad, or incomplete news, you know. And as well, we are also launching our on-air pledge drive, and our theme seems to be the effort we are making to connect or reconnect or maintain connection with our community collaborators. Those people who provide services and sometimes inadvertently in collusion with WGXC in an effort to serve and inform and join together in the services that we provide to the citizens of Columbia County. So that's what we're about today and throughout the on-air pledge drive. So our goal is to add 50 more sustaining supporters. If you are not aware of who those people might be, those are people who monthly donate funds to WGXC so that we can continue to serve the community, but with more, you know, available funds to do it than waiting till we're broke and have to do a fund drive. So overall, WGXC would like to pick up 50 or so more sustaining donation providers. I personally would love to hear 5 people call us and pledge your support to be a sustaining driver. donator, rather. So if you're listening to us now and you understand what it is we're talking about this time around, certainly many of you who are regular listeners know that we periodically have to do these on-air pledge drives in order for us to remain on the air and serving this community. So, come on, folks. I know you're out there. I know you listen. And I would find it very interesting to know how many people of you out there have not, to this point, made a donation of any amount of money, you know, to WGXC, just to show that you are a listener and that you are a supporter and you are a citizen of this county and this city who is willing to do anything to see to it that the services being rendered, either by a communication or by health services or health support services, are in collaboration with each other. And that's what will make us a strong community. And WGXC would like to be the pinnacle of all that. And this is how we're asking you to make it happen, okay?
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at WGXC.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org/donate now.
You've tuned in during the WGXC Fall Pledge Drive, and we're asking for your help to keep the radio coming out of your speakers. We're asking for you to do your little part. Radio is a free medium where you don't have to pay, and certainly if you can't afford to, then we understand your lack of donation. But if you can contribute, this is a community radio station, which means it's made up of and by members of the community. Anyone at all can have their say on the radio. It doesn't matter what your political views are. It doesn't matter how tall you are or how old you are or what color your skin is or where you came from or how soon you arrived here or how long you've been here. It's an open window to the community, a place where you can listen in on others, a place where you can have your say if you need to. Right now, maybe everything's okay with you, but what if 6 months from now you want to open a store and there's community opposition? And you want to explain what the problem is and why there isn't actually a problem. We'll give you that platform, that soapbox to stand on. This community radio station is merely a framework for you to use when you need it. And always be there. A place where you can consistently find out about what's going on in your community from different points of view. Hundreds of different voices every week on the radio. From guests to hosts to programmers, people working behind the scenes to keep it all going. And we do this all on a shoestring. With as little cost as possible, we set up things so They run efficiently and can put as many people on as possible. The new technologies today make it easier and easier to do radio shows from any location, and so we do that as much as possible. The Catskill Maker Syndicate broadcast their Singularity Show, where they take questions on tech issues and help out local people. They do it from their space on Bridge Street, West Bridge Street in Catskill. The Clubhouse Radio folks from the Green and Columbia Mental Health Group, that's right up at the top of Main Street in Catskill, right by that Rip Van Winkle statue. That's where the Clubhouse Radio comes from every Friday at 6 p.m. And we played Sunday mornings, too. We broadcast from High Low in Catskill Tuesday mornings, so guests can just walk down the street and be on the radio. And, of course, we've got a studio in Hudson in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church, corner of Warren Street and 4th Street. Our door is on the 4th Street side. Stop by and say hello sometime. We also broadcast live music. Just this past weekend alone, we broadcast shows from the Half Moon in Hudson, from the Spotty Dog Bookstore, Spotty Dog Books and Ale in Hudson, and from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. We've got senior citizens on the air. People in their 70s and people in their 80s doing radio shows, singing along to the songs they play, interviewing guests about local issues, cultural issues, political issues. Local activists have a place to have their say and tell you about when their rallies are, when their protests are going to be, what the important local issues are, how dirty that Hudson River is, or how it's being cleaned. WGXC was instrumental in stopping that incinerator plant from going into Catskill last year. We broadcast community forums on the issue. We had environmental experts on the air explaining the issues. And that company hightailed it and ran out of town, because they didn't want to face all that opposition. We've had people on the air talking about the Greene County Jail issue for several years now. All sorts of other environmental issues and political issues, educational issues get discussed here. It's a community conversation, but it can't happen without you. We need you to do the programs, to be a volunteer programmer or be a guest on the radio, and to make a contribution today to our pledge drive. If you can only make a one-time donation, that's fine. That's great. We'd love that too. 518-697-7400 is the place to go, or go to WGXC.org and click on the donate button. But if you can, if you do have the means, then by all means, try to become a sustaining supporter. 17 cents a day, $5 a month is all it takes. You can donate more if you can. But if you have the means, help others who don't. We get letters from inmates in the Coxsackie Correctional Facility about how much the radio means to them and how much they listen to WGXC. Some of them even make donations. They get paid pennies per hour, but they send us checks for what amounts to 50, 100 hours of work, because the radio means so much to them. And we know we get letters and calls from other people who WGXC is their only source of information and entertainment. They don't have broadband. They don't watch television, but they listen to WGXC and they get their information here. If you have the means, maybe you can help underwrite their listening habits and make sure that this information is available to them, because otherwise, this is a media desert. You've heard about food deserts, probably. You've heard about them on the air here, because we've talked about food deserts. Hudson, New York is almost a food desert until recently, when the Rolling Grocer rolled into town. You had to walk or take a bus out to Greenport to get sustenance. But we're also in a media desert. Think about how many media sources have come and gone in this area. There used to be a lot more blogs, even. There used to be a lot more newspapers. You used to go to local town meetings, and there would always be a reporter there. No more.
So there you have it. This is WGXC 90.7 FM, Hudson, Accra, and all points north, south, east, and west, and the world, if you want to go to WGXC.org on your computer. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Find out where the music takes Byron Westbrook on the next Deep Threes, when he lights the fuse on a bundle of sonic textures just waiting to explode. Plus tracks from Harold Budd, Kamasi Washington, and Daphne Oram, remixed. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Waveform's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Waveform Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Curtin family of Tivoli, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Monday, October 28, 2019. I'm Dan Hyman. Wildfires have forced nearly 200,000 Northern Californians to flee their homes. Meanwhile, blackouts mean more than 2 million people could be without power until Wednesday. Democratic California Representative Katie Hill has resigned. Last week, the House Ethics Committee announced it was investigating whether Hill had a sexual relationship with someone on her staff. A new survey reveals major political concerns for Gen Z and millennials.
According to research from the Cause and Social Influence Initiative, climate change tops the list, followed by civil rights, immigration, healthcare reform, and mental health. Lead researcher Derek Feldman says they also asked both generations about their take on fake news.
77% view that fake news is real, and around 73% believe that the election will be influenced by fake news, particularly on some of these social issues.
48% of respondents said the country is off track, and 44% believe it's further off track now than before the 2016 election. For Public News Service, I'm Mary Sherman.
New legislation, now before Congress, is designed to jumpstart the shift from gas to electric vehicles and to make sure that those vehicles are produced in the United States.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer has proposed a sweeping measure that he says could take 63 million gas guzzlers off the road by 2030. According to Luke Tanishel with the Natural Resources Defense Council, the proposal starts with offering rebates to encourage car owners to trade in their gas-powered vehicles for domestically manufactured electric cars.
All car buyers, there's even provisions for getting a used electric vehicle and additional incentives if you're low or moderate income.
He says the plan has the support not only of environmental groups, but labor unions and major automakers. The plan also would give federal help to build the millions of charging stations that would be needed to make electric vehicles a practical alternative. For Public News Service, I'm Andrea Sears.
With a rise in vaping-related illnesses, law enforcement is cracking down on black market vaping products. Mike Moen reports.
Tim Fournier is the police chief in New Hope, a Twin Cities suburb. Officers from his department recently worked with a task force that netted more than 76,000 vaping cartridges containing THC.
What we busted up were the most popular brand of underground-produced cartridge, where it doesn't have the regulation attached to the manufacturing.
A similar bust was recently reported by Wisconsin authorities. That operation was described by investigators as one of the biggest illegal vaping rings in the country.
This is PNS. A protest against economic inequality by a million people in Chile has forced the president there to make changes in his government. President Sebastian Piñera announced that having heard and understood the message, he would reshuffle his government. Hundreds were shot during the unrest. In Hong Kong, demonstrators have battled with police after officers used water cannons to clear a mosque. The protesters said they were showing support for ethnic minorities in the city. Protests there have continued for nearly 5 months. More than 60 people have been killed in anti-government protests in Iraq. Al Jazeera reports hundreds are occupying a central square in Baghdad in spite of a bloody crackdown. In the past 6 years, the number of juveniles committed to the Department of Corrections in South Dakota has decreased by 65%.
The reduction is a result of the Juvenile Detention Alternatives Initiative, adopted in 2011. State Coordinator Annie Brokenleg says locking youth up can accelerate criminal behavior.
Kids that can be safely supervised in the community, like through the Evening Reporting Center, they're more likely to graduate high school, they're more likely to maintain steady employment, and will be less likely to reoffend.
In 2018, only 6% of youths failed to appear for court after being released, and only 11% of youth reoffended. Since the early 1990s, 40 states and Washington, D.C. have adopted the JDAI framework. The initiative reports that juvenile detention populations in participating states have been cut in half. For Public News Service, I'm Roz Brown.
Microloans can be a big help for survivors of domestic violence. Nadia Romlagan spoke to one woman in Kentucky.
26-year-old Stacy says she initially used Facebook to reach out to the Kentucky Coalition Against Domestic Violence for financial guidance.
I had some debt that my ex-husband had ran up on me, the microloan, to help pay off my credit card that had all these charges on it from my marriage.
Stacy says the microloan opportunity set her on a path toward financial independence. She's graduated from college and is now working on a master's degree. I'm Nadia Romlagan.
That Samsung satellite that crashed in a Michigan yard, turns out it was more of a selfie stick on a high-altitude balloon. The company has confirmed that their now-identified falling object was part of its space selfie mission, which was designed to let customers transmit selfies to a display in the lower stratosphere. There, a camera would take a picture of the picture against the backdrop of space. I'm Dan Hyman for Public News Service, member and listener-supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. Go to the newsroom, wgxc.org. Find out more information about any stories you hear here. Dan Friedman reports for the Times Union that New York Senator Chuck Schumer failed in his attempt to work around the Republican capping of New York state and local tax deduction, losing a 52-43 vote in the U.S. Senate October 23rd. Republicans passed a new federal tax bill in 2017, putting a $10,000 cap on deductions for state and local taxes, which raised federal taxes for many New Yorkers. Quote, taking away the SALT deduction was brutally unfair to New York's hardworking homeowners who bear the brunt of the Trump tax bill, unquote, Schumer said after the vote. Quote, while I am disappointed that this horrible rule will continue to take its toll on working families across the country, I remain committed to eliminating the harmful tax deduction cap through any means possible, unquote. Schumer cited the specific local impact of the Republican tax bill, saying that in 2016, 51,000 Albany County residents filed SALT deductions that averaged $15,500, which means their taxes were raised considerably. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Diane Valden reports in the Columbia paper that after November 5th elections, the town of Copaic will have a new supervisor, town clerk, town justice, and at least one new town council person. Jeannie Mettler on the Democratic and Working Families lines and Kelly Miller Simmons on the Republican, Conservative, and Independence Party lines are running for supervisor in the southeastern Columbia County town, with Jeff Nayer stepping down after 8 years in the position. Town clerk tax collector Larry Proper has been in town offices since 1986, but is retiring with only Lynn Connolly on the ballot to take his place. Two newcomers, Julie Cohen and Paulette Bonanno, are on the Democratic and Working Family lines, and incumbent Stanley Stosh-Ganskowski and former board member Terry Sullivan, both on Republican, Independence, and Conservative Party lines, are vying for two open town board seats. And Jeffrey Judd and Hillary Thomas are in the mix for town justice, as current Justice John Spencer is not running again. Judd is on the Democratic and Working Families lines, and Thomas is running on the Republican, Independence, and Conservative Party lines. Read the Columbia paper for full profiles of all the Copaic candidates. Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that with early voting debuting in New York October 26th, Governor Andrew Cuomo signed three more bills October 24th to make voting easier. The bills purportedly make it easier to read ballots, require ballots make clear when a ballot has two sides, and mandate that boards of election post sample ballots online before an election for voters to preview. Quote, voting is a fundamental right, and there should never be a situation where that right is infringed on just because the ballot isn't clear, unquote, Cuomo said. Quote, these measures will bolster the progress we've made to improve voting access by ensuring ballots clearly lay out the choices and there is no confusion when New Yorkers walk into the voting booth, unquote. In Columbia County, there are three locations to vote ahead of November 5th, the county office building in Hudson, the Martin H. Glenn Municipal Building in Volusia, and Copaic Town Hall in Copaic. In Greene County, early voting takes place October 26th through November 3rd at the Greene County Office Building, 411 Main Street, room 430 in Catskill. In southern Albany County, the Helderberg Ambulance site at 978 Coal Hill Road in East Byrne will set up for all voters registered in election districts in Byrne, Knox, Rensselaerville, and Westerloo. The Bethlehem Lutheran Church at 85 Elm in Delmar will be for voters registered in Bethlehem, Coymans, and New Scotland. In southern Rensselaer County, the Skodak Town Hall, 265 Sherman Road in Castleton-on-Hudson, will be set up for early voting. To gain a political advantage, Republicans in the majority in Rensselaer County did not set up an early voting site in Troy, the county's largest city and home to more Democrats than GOP members. The Daily Freeman reports that Department of Environmental Conservation has finished improvements at the North South Lake Campground in Haines Falls. The DEC spent $366,348 for a fishing platform, new picnic tables and grills, a solar-powered cell phone charging station, benches, a ramp to the beach, a boardwalk to the water, a drinking fountain, an outside shower and foot wash station, and a new pavilion. The DEC also added 500 tons of new beach sand, a new 10-slot bike rack, camper-friendly changing rooms, and a new lifeguard office. Quote, the improvements continue our efforts to expand recreational opportunities for people of all abilities, unquote, DEC Commissioner Basil Sago said in a prepared statement. The North South Lake Campground opened in 1926 in the Catskill Forest Preserve. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. And read more about any of these stories at the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org.
And now here is your WGXC hands-on radio weather update. The National Weather Service in Albany is forecasting a mostly sunny Monday afternoon with a temperature high near 61 degrees and a northwest wind at 5 to 7 miles an hour. It will be mostly cloudy Monday night with a temperature low of around 46 degrees and a south wind at around 6 miles an hour. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Tuesday, Patchy drizzle with a slight chance of showers. It will be mostly cloudy with a high near 60 degrees. Tuesday night, a slight chance of rain before 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low of around 49. And on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 64 degrees. And Wednesday night, a chance of rain after 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low of around 46. And that's your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Sarah of Montreal, Quebec. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Welcome. It's good to talk to you.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Okay, I want to start off with a basic question. Just what is ranked choice voting?
So ranked choice voting is a better and fairer way to run our elections. It's not a new system. It's been used in numerous cities and towns across the United States for quite a while. In fact, the city of Cambridge, Mass. Has been using it for 70 years. Oof. It's used in other countries like Finland and Ireland and Australia. The Academy Awards uses it. So it's been tried, tested, and true. So that's history. So back to your question of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look at our current system of voting, you walk into the voting booth and you might see a couple of choices. You see a Republican, Democrat, maybe you see a third party challenger that you like. But you look at that and say, well, I like this third party challenger, but I don't know if they really have a chance. So I think I better hold my nose and choose the lesser of two evils.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the way you should have to think when you're voting. You shouldn't have to strategize like that. So with ranked choice voting, you can pick, you can vote for as many candidates as you like in a ranked choice order. In our current system, you only get one vote. With ranked choice voting, you vote for as many candidates as you like in a ranked choice order, one, two, or three. I like this third party person the best, for example, so that they're going to get number one. And if they don't win, I would choose the Republican. So you make them number two, et cetera. And that encourages, so regardless of how many people are on the ballot, you can vote for as many or few as you like. And it should be that more people running is a good thing. I hear a lot of people say, oh gosh, isn't it crazy that we've got 22 candidates on the running in the Democratic primary? That should be a great thing. More choices, more voices out there should be a good thing, not a complicating factor. So then a critical difference is that the winner of this has to come out with a real majority of greater than 50%. In our current system, which is called a plurality vote, means that it's just most votes wins, period. So you could win by 37 votes, or you could win by 3 million votes, but whatever it is. Mm-hmm. The result of that is that many elections are won with small percentages of the vote, 29%, 32%,
yeah.
Because if there's several people running, the vote gets split up. So if somebody wins with only, say, 31% or whatever, it's not a real majority. It's not a real mandate. So with ranked choice voting, the winner has to get at least 50% of the vote. And that's a big difference because they go in with a real mandate. And if I can just take it one step further in terms of what it is. So you've cast your vote. People rank their choices 1, 2, or 3.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's say the result is that nobody gets 50% plus of the vote.
Yeah.
So what happens? So for this reason, this is ranked choice voting is also referred to as instant runoff election, because what happens automatically with the computer is that the person with the least number of votes is dropped out. All of their number twos are assigned accordingly. And then you see, now do we have somebody that's garnered 50% plus of the vote?
Yeah.
And if it doesn't happen then, again, instantly, the person with the least number of votes is dropped out. All the number threes are reassigned accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And usually when you get to that point, a 50% plus majority winner emerges.
Yeah.
So what's happened here is that your vote has stayed in play until somebody wins with the real majority.
Wow. It provides more freedom, I suppose, in like your choices and who you want, because you don't have to really worry as much about like, oh, between these two awful people or between these amazing people, which one should I really go for? So
that's right. You're able to more vote with your heart and what you really want, and not worry that you're wasting your vote. That's what a lot of people think. That's why a lot of people don't even show up for elections.
Yeah.
They think, oh, my vote isn't even going to matter. And that's another thing that shouldn't be happening.
No.
So this system of voting solves a number of problems. Also with our current system, when you have multiple people running and it's most votes wins, you have the problem of the spoiler effect. And the Bush-Gore election back in, what was it, 2010, is the classic example where Ralph Nader siphoned off about 90-something thousand votes, mostly from Al Gore, and Bush ended up winning by, you know, a couple of hundred votes
mm-hmm.
or something like
yeah.
that. Now, it's important to point out that this system does not favor one party or the other. This is not a partisan issue. This is about making the election system more fair.
True.
And in the past, the spoiler effect has benefited different candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, the outcome is a better and fairer way to vote.
Yeah, and so how should people who are campaigning to get the votes, how would their methods change, I suppose, for the ranked choice voting?
That's a great question, because that leads to another benefit, which I hadn't mentioned yet, is ranked choice voting greatly reduces negative campaigning. And the reason for that is now, in our current system, it's most votes wins. So politicians are very tempted, as we all know, to just really throw mud at their opponents, because they want to make them look bad, them look good, and get one more vote.
Mm-hmm.
And with ranked choice voting, what happens is, because there might be instant runoffs that might go a couple of rounds, candidates may need the support of voters supporters of their opponents, so they don't want to alienate them. So rather than, so here's a great example. People who are campaigning door to door, they see, you're Bob Jones, and you see a Joe Smith sign on the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
So in today, probably people doing the door-to-door canvassing for Bob Jones would just keep going.
Yeah.
Oh, that person's mind's made up for Joe Smith. Now what they might do, probably do, is knock on the door and say, hey, I understand that you want to cast your vote for Joe Smith. Joe Smith is a good guy. Here's where we agree on these several points. Here's a couple of things where we differ. I think maybe I stand out a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
If you're set on Joe Smith, that's great. I would ask for you to give me your number two vote.
Yeah.
And that's a whole different thing than saying, wow, that Joe Smith is horrible and he beats his wife and, trying to make him look horrible, because you don't want to alienate the candidate.
Yeah.
So you do have that benefit of greatly reducing negative campaigning, which, as we know, has just become such a horrible problem.
So I was wondering how you personally got involved, because I knew that you are pushing for to get on the Massachusetts for the statewide ballot for 2020, right? So how did you originally get involved in that petition?
Mm-hmm. Well, what drew me to this, the organization, is I've been involved in a lot of different issues over time, a lot of environmental type of issues, social justice issues. And in conversations with people, I came to realize that there's some basic systemic problems that need to be addressed before we can address a lot of our other problems.
Yeah.
And I got an invitation by email from somebody that I know talking about this ranked choice voting concept.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, what's that all about? And I read about it, and I said, wow, that's really interesting. That our election system is flawed, and that's another really serious fundamental systemic problem that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So I attended the meeting and asked a lot of questions, learned all about it, and I thought to myself, wow, we have to have faith in our election system, and we have to feel good about going to the voting booth, and we can't feel like our vote isn't going to count, our vote's going to get wasted,
yeah.
Or that by choosing somebody that we like, it's going to create a spoiler effect and end up getting the exact opposite type of person that we want elected.
So we're running out of time, but do you know how people can get involved? Like if they should go online, is there a website?
Yes. In New York, there's a website called rankthevotenyc.org. And very quickly, right now, this is going on the ballot this November 5th for New York City. So that's very important. Not all of New York State, but New York City, which is very significant. And then if people are interested in the national effort, there's another website called fairvote.org. FairVote is a national organization helping individual states.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to talk about this, and good luck on the campaign in Massachusetts.
Great. Thanks again, Sophia. Thanks for having me.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acra, Creative Community Magical Radio.
I'm a rogue.